Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. संसारा चक्रा इतस्मिन् संसार चक्र आति इतस्मिन् जंतुर अज्ञाना मोहिता जंतुर अज्ञाना मोहिता ब्राह्म्यान् सुकम् सदुकम् च ब्राह्म्यान् सुकम् सदुकम् च भुङ्क्ते सर्वत्र सावधा संसारचक्रे तस्मिन् जन्तुरज्ञानमोहिता ब्राह्म्यान् सुकम् सदुकम् च भुङ्क्ते सर्वत्र सर्वदा संसारचक्रे तस्मिन् जन्तुरज्ञानमोहिता ब्राह्म्यान् सुकम् सदुकम् च भुङ्क्ते सर्वत्र सर्वदा संसारचक्रे तस्मिन् जन्तुरज्ञानमोहिता ब्राह्म्यान् सुकम् सदुकम् च भुङ्क्ते सर्वत्र सर्वदा ब्राह्म्यान् सुकम् सदुकम् च थैंक यू एंड वन ऑफ द लेडीज वन टू मे बी लेडीज वन लेडी टू लेडीज थ्री नोबडी संसार चक्र इन द व्हील ऑफ मटेरियल एग्जिस्टेंस इट हैज मीन This Jantu, the living entity, Agyana Moita, being bewildered by ignorance, Brahmyan, wondering, Sukham, happiness, Cha, and Dukham. Distress. Cha also. Bhunkte, he undergoes. Sarvatra, everywhere. Sarvada, always. Deluded by ignorance, the living entity wanders in the forest of this material world, enjoying the happiness and distress resulting from his past deeds, everywhere and at all times. Therefore, my dear mother, neither you nor I am to be blamed for this incident. Purport. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Prakriti Kriya Manani Gunai Kamani Sarvasa Ankara Vimudhatma Katam Iti Manyati. The bewildered soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself the doer of activities that are actually carried out by nature. Actually, a conditioned soul is completely under the control of material nature, wandering here and there, always and everywhere subjected to the results of his past deeds. This is carried out by the laws of nature. But one foolishly thinks himself the doer, which in fact he is not. To get free from the karma chakra, the wheel of the results of one's karma, one should take to bhakti marg, devotional service, or Krishna consciousness. That is the only remedy. Sarva dharman paritya jyamami kamsaranam braja. Hare Krishna. Amagyan timirandasya gunanjana shalakaya chakshur unvitam minat tasmai sri guravema. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stavitam Inavutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Darati Sva Parantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So, this karma chakra is also known in Buddhist philosophy. And karma chakra is a wheel of life. And within the wheel of life we are rotating. It's interesting, in the wheel of life it is originally, they say it is depicted by the Buddha. You can see it on Buddhist tankas. It has six spokes, and in this six spokes there are six worlds. There is the worlds of the devas. Yes, we know this. These are the higher planets. The world of the daityas, we know this also, subterranean heavenly planets, demons. The world of the animals, yes. The world of the humans, yes, the hellish worlds, yes, this is Patala, Yoloka, etc., lower planets, and then there's the world of the hungry ghosts. Those ghosts are always hungry. Ghosts are people that have been kicked out of the body or kicked themselves out of the body. Normally the process of death is a gradual process of detaching oneself from the body. There's attachment there. When at night, when we fly, who is flying at night? Who has dreams that he's flying? Anybody? You fly? You fly? Who else flies? You don't fly. I do it all the time. So what happens there actually? Well, you know, the body is lying there. The gross body, called Stula Sarira, which is made out of the five elements. Namely, Bhumir Apur, Nalu, Vayu, Kam, earth, water, fire, air. And then there is the Linga Sarira. Linga Sarira is Mana Sarira, the mind. Then there's Buddhi Sarira, this is the intelligence, says Ahankara. Vinna Prakritir Ashtara, Krishna says these are my eight energies. So when we sleep at night, the body, if the body is a harmonium, this is Stula Sarira, then we take off. But we find back, we go back because there is a connection. The Buddhists call this actually the silver cord. It's not a still, it's also in the Old Testament, by the way, mentioned. Before the silver cord breaks, remember your creator. And this is a good idea, that silver cord breaks. It's a subtle cord, just like no matter how drunk a man is, he finds his house. Why? Because he's attached to it. There are so many doors. In Ireland, people drink so much. At night they go out and they drink and drink and drink, but they do find the house. Because, you know, although there are so many doors, so many, they find it because of attachment. So it's a cord of attachment. And in generally, the process of dying is a very slow one. I've seen my brother die, I've seen my father die, and I saw Srila Prabhupada leaves the body. And it's a gradual process of detaching oneself from the gross body. In generally. Now if this cord is broken all of a sudden, if the gross body is destroyed, then You had no time to detach yourself, what to speak, to attach yourself to another situation. It is stated that at the time of death we see the next set of our parents. So when that happens, you are still attached to a body which doesn't exist anymore. So somebody who dies in a car accident, becomes a ghost. I've seen when I was a small child many ghosts. I could see them every night. It was a nightmare. And my mother said to pray to Jesus. I prayed. Worked. I remember one time we drove from, my children also, they could see ghosts. We drove from Vrindavan to Jaipur at night. My children were screaming, "Daddy, you see, there are ghosts there." I said, "I don't see anything." "There are many, there are so many." I said, "You're crazy, you're nothing." We drove further. There was a bus in flames. And my children, "There, there are so many running around." They could see it. It's a reality. If you leave the body all of a sudden, you become a ghost. You have the same desire of the body. You try to enjoy eating, sleeping, sexuality and whatever, but you don't have the body. Consequently, you enter the body of somebody else who is instable. Person who's instable, it's possible that somebody else, and if it happens, then scientists call it, psychologists, multi-personality disorder. This is a technical term, multi-personality disorder. There's another guy there. There are two people. I saw one time in our temple in Dublin, there was a guy, you know, all of a sudden started foaming and foaming, you know, rolling over the floor. And I knew he was possessed. So I took the Bhagavad Gita. He was lying on the ground with his face down. Close, he went, "Ah!" He couldn't see it. And I went from the other side. I came here, "Ah!" Like this, you know, because it was a ghost inside. The ghost could see, he couldn't see, you know. So this is a very well-known phenomena. There are ghosts, there are subtle bodies. They are detached from the gross body. In the subtle body you can travel. I remember in Ireland, I was running Ireland for a long time, 14 years, so we bought an island in the middle of a lake. Beautiful. Beautiful. We own a whole island. And in the middle of the island, huge forest, covering the island. In the middle there's this beautiful castle, and that's the home of Radha Govinda. It's the most beautiful world property ISKCON has properly. I remember I invited one time Vishwambar Goswami, the father of Padmanabh Goswami from Radharaman temple. He was at that time the mayor of, and I invited him. He sat there on the veranda. He said, "Preetu, I've seen so many places. I've been all over ISKCON. I've been in America, South Africa. I've seen outside of Vrindavan. I've never seen a place like this," he told me. Beautiful deities, huge, 4 foot, very big, bigger than Radhisham in Vrindavan, black Krishna, gorgeous. So before we couldn't reveal our identity, that we were the actual buyers, we bought through a lawyer. So, but I couldn't wait to go there, but I couldn't go. So at night, I flew. I was obsessed by the idea. I flew. And I went into this house in my dream. And here was a piano, and here was a green room, and here was a kitchen, and here was a living room, and there was this. And I made a map, and I showed it to the devotees. They said, "That's what's inside." I said, "How do you know?" I said, "I went there. I could swear this is it." So when we moved there, there it was. There was a piano, there was a green room, and there was a kitchen, and everything was in place, just like I saw it. So it's a reality. It's called astral travel. That's a reality. So linga sarira, stula sarira, linga sarira flies. And normally, at the time of death, he finds another harmonium, another body. When that's ripped all of a sudden, that's called death. So it is very scientific. We have a very scientific understanding. The gross body, made out of the pancha, it's called panchabhuta, the five gross elements, panchabhuta. The subtle body, linga sarira, And in the Linga Sarira, the soul is situated and the soul is traveling. The soul is traveling here and there. The so-called out-of-body experience, somebody has, he sees himself outside of his body. So many people. It's called OBE, out-of-body experience. So many. I had this before I came to the movement at various times. An out-of-body experience that you realize you're not the body. The body's lying there. I saw my body, I was sitting on a chair and I looked from outside through keyhole at one stage and saw my body sitting there. I was traveling my subtle body and I saw my body sitting in a chair, inside. It's possible. I have personal experience of that. So, it is a science, very scientific. And we are not the doer. We identify. Ahamkara means we identify. Ahamkara, I'm doing. I identify with a subtle body, I identify with a gross body. And one who does so, he is a murk. He's a fool. Ahamkara vimudhatma. He should go in front of a mirror every morning when he gets up. Every one of us in the bodily concept of life, and we should speak the truth to the mirror. And that is, me bahut gida hoon. I'm a big fool. Because everybody who accepts the material body, he's a fool. The first thing we have to learn in Krishna consciousness is that we are fools. The whole material world is a ship of fools. Anybody who is here, fool. People in the spiritual world, they don't come here. So if you came here, sir, you came here, there was a big mistake. I came here, there was a big mistake, we made a mistake. Now we are here. And as Prabhupada explains here, we are not at all the doer. Everything is carried out by the modes of material nature according to our karma, in one sense, and according to our desire. These are the two components that shape our action. There are other components too. There's Krishna there, the demigods there, etc. But these, as far as we are concerned, there are two components we are involved with. I will explain this. Like, for example, if you have good karma, you can buy, if you have a lot of money, you buy a good car. If you have little money, you have to buy a little Maruti or something. The big difference. So according to your karma, according to your money, you get a particular kind of body. In a Mercedes, you're not the driver. You sit in the Mercedes, you're the passenger, like the soul is situated. You can tell the driver, who is a super soul, drive 300 kilometers an hour. This is fine if you sit in a Mercedes. People do it all the time. In Germany, there's no speed limit, and people drive 450 kilometers an hour sometimes. You can drive, no problem, because you have the vehicle. But if you don't have the vehicle, if you sit in a Maruti and you tell the driver, drive 300 miles an hour, he said, sir, you're an illusion. You're sitting in a Maruti. Maruti can drive 50, 70 miles an hour. So this is the one thing, that we are conditioned by karma. Within our karma, Krishna fulfills our desires. The driver fulfills our desires to drive 70 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, according to our karmic disposition. These are the two elements. Very clear. One time I took bath in the in the Yamuna, and many cows came, and water bulls. The water bulls immediately, every single one went into the water. One went this way, one went that way, one went deep inside, but there's some freedom. There's some freedom. They can say, I would like to go all the way into the water. The super soul organizes it, he goes all the way into the water. And somebody thinks, I would like to stay rather here, I'm a little frightened, first time in the water maybe. Super soul organizes it, he can stay here. You know, so there is some freedom within our limits. And so, all the water buffaloes went into the water. And all the cows were standing on the shore, and some cows were drinking, otherwise they just laid down. You know, not one single cow went into the water because they're conditioned by the body. So we are conditioned by the body, and within our conditioning, which is predestined due to our activity in past life, we get a body, karmana deva nechena, according to our disposition in previous life, you get a particular type of body. So once we get a particular kind of body, there's some freedom there. We can say, I want to go here, I want to go there. You want to lift your hand, you can. But you're not doing it. I described this already in a previous lecture. It's done under the control of the super soul. Because there's no connection whatsoever between the gross body and the subtle body and the soul, except consciousness. Conscious of the body. So, we have a very clear understanding of the body and the soul. Just 2 days ago, the present Pope made an announcement that all animals go to heaven. It's all over the papers. All animals go to heaven. Where does he get this idea from? His previous predecessing Pope, he said, animals, they have no future life. Once they're dead, they're gone. And according to Christian doctrine, the Pope is infallible. They're two different, totally contradicting opinions. And the previous Pope, the Polish Pope, he said, animals have an immaterial and non-spiritual soul. There's three conceptions within three popes, different opinions. Why is that? Because they don't really know what they're talking about. Very simple. They don't. There's no clear understanding what is soul. What is a gross body? What is a subtle body? What is karma? How? Why are we suffering? Why are we enjoying? There's no philosophy. There's no clear understanding. So ahankara vimudabha, one who thinks that he's a doer, he's a fool. It is not that we are not involved in what happens. If he would not be involved, why should we be punished? We are choosing to steal. And for that, we get hit in due course of time. But the actual mechanics of moving the body, doing this, this is done by the super soul. I desire to steal. And so the hand stretches out. I want to do this. The body follows like a shadow my desires. I want to do this. Super soul arranges. Okay. And I run away. It's all done under the control of the super soul. Man proposes, God disposes. You should understand this very clearly. We are very precise understanding how everything works. Mind is always changing. Manasarira, I like it, I don't like it. It's nice, not nice. Always changing. Intelligence is never changing. If this is the mind, and here's intelligence, oops, this is a false ego. The bell rings, and these are the senses. In the morning, the bell rings in the Brahmacharya ashram. You wake up, the soul wakes up, the soul is. This is the soul. How can the soul wake up anyway? What happens when we sleep? Do you know this? According to Vedanta Sutra, the super soul pulls the soul into the effulgence. First the super soul shuts down all the sense perception. So we don't hear, see anything anymore. We stop thinking. Then the super soul actually, Bhakti Baba Maharaj told me, the super soul actually pulls the soul into the jyoti, into the effulgence, and there we stay. And that's why after a good night of sleep, when we come out, we feel good, because we actually were resting with Krishna. That's what happens. So the bell rings. How is this perceived through the senses? The ears hear. You wake up. Now what happens? The senses say, oh, come on, Preetu, you're tired. Roll over to the other side. Yes, the mind says, that's right, I also feel like, roll over, Preetu. Intelligence said, no, you've got to chant Hare Krishna. No, come on, don't be so harsh on yourself, Preetu. Take it easy, baby. Sleep a little longer. The senses say, yeah, that feels right. Don't do that. Intelligence said, no, you've got to get up. And so we have this argument between here and here all the time. Shall I eat more? I already add up to here. But there's this one rasgula. Senses say, yeah, take it. It tastes so good. The mind says, yeah, come on, take it. One rasgula doesn't hurt. Intelligence said, you're too fat. Don't do that. And so you have this argument in every single situation. Shall I do this? Shall I not do this? Shall I eat this extra? Shall I look at this girl or not? Senses say, oh, she's very beautiful. Come on, have a look. Another look. Third look. Fourth look. Mind says, yeah, feels really good. Intelligence says, come on, you're a brahmachari. Don't do that. Come on, stop this right away. Right now. And so you have, is that true? You go into the fridge, you open the fridge. There it is, a whole bowl of Shrikant. The senses say, wow, go for it. Mind says, yes, this is Krishna's mercy. Intelligence said, it is not offered yet. Don't take it. And so, if you become overwhelmed by the mind and by the senses and by the mind, they are dominating the intelligence, and we do it. If this consciousness is sufficiently descended on the physical, people do all kinds of things. Later they were, how could I do such a thing? How could I do that? Because he was so on the central plane. His consciousness so has sunk on the central plane. Once the consciousness is on the central plane, it's out of control. So the mind is always changing, just like I know I have a Dutch passport, my name is Preetu Das, and so many things, I come from this little town, and this is all in the intelligence. Never mind how I feel good, it doesn't change it, what's on the intelligence platform. Intelligence platform is steady, mind is always changing, our emotions are always changing. And if I'm on the mental platform, then sometimes there's a song. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, nobody knows but Jesus. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, oh yes, Lord. Sometimes I'm really on the ground, oh yes, Lord. That means this guy's on the mental platform who wrote the song. He's on the mental platform. Like a young bhakta, you know. What is the mind of a young bhakta? Young bhakta means, Shall I not join? Maybe I should go home to my mama. Maybe it's early. Well, stay. Maybe I should go. Young bhakta, always. Is it true? Mental platform. Is that right? Yeah. I have to encourage him again. Once I see him sit somewhere, I have to go and preach and say, come on, baby, take it, Stay here. Stay right here. I have to put it. I work to his intelligence. I appeal to his intelligence. I give him logic, reason, argument, why it is a good thing to stay. To just shut up his mind, because the mind is spinning. So it's a very scientific. People don't understand. We have this huge German writer and philosopher, Goethe. There's Goethe Institute all over the world. He wrote many books. He was a German Shakespeare. And Shakespeare was what Shakespeare is in England, Goethe was for sure. And he said, two souls are in my breast. This is not such a thing like two souls. There's one soul. But what he's talking about is the mind and the intelligence arguing with each other. That's what's happening. The mind and the intelligence are in arguing, always arguing with each other. The senses see something. The mind says, yes, let's go for that. Intelligence says, better not. And if people are achieving something, even in this material world, like somebody is a champion in swimming or something, he is very strong in his intelligence because he makes up his mind. No, I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to train right now. Mind is saying, no, 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 no. Come on. You trained enough? Senses says, yeah, but if you're tired. Intelligence says, no, you have to train because you want to win the Olympics. Anybody who performs in the material world, who achieves something, achievers, they're controlled with their intelligence, the mind. They make up their mind. And the senses, they're controlled. That's why they get somewhere. It's true for spiritual life, true for material life. Yeah? Is this clear? So when we dream, this happens. Did you hear that? There was a bing, somebody sends an email. What happens when we die? What happens when we die? Well, stand behind me. Come here, stand behind me. This is God. Stand behind me. You have to catch this flower, okay? And I'll throw it. What happens? When we die, when we go to the spiritual world, first we leave the gross body behind, then we leave the mind behind, like a rocket. One stage, then we leave the intelligence behind, then we leave the false ego behind, and then we catch it. It should be one flower. Once more. When we die, first we leave the gross body, then we leave the subtle body, then we leave the intelligence, then we leave the false ego conception, and then the soul, it stays up there. Yam prapyamam nivartate tadama paramamama. One who reaches my abode never comes back. Why is it? Because God is holding us. We do our best, Krishna does the rest. This is the philosophy. Very simple. Very graphic. Is it? You like it? It's so nice. You know, you can see, in every restaurant, sometimes I sit down with some, you know, materialistic people. I say, let me tell you something. Let me tell you. Here, the first plate from which we just ate, that's the gross body. Then there's subtle body. Put a plate on top. Another plate. Another cup. Another, you put a spoon in the end. That's the soul. And you can give a whole demonstration of the philosophy. Every time I touch the thing, Krishna is confirming. You know? You read in Bhagavad Gita, if you look at Bhagavad Gita, let me take this. Do we have a Bhagavad Gita here? Our philosophy is really practical, very practical. You have to understand it really well. You can explain the phenomena of this world really nicely to everybody. And appeal to the intelligence. Sit, have a Christian, sit him down. And say, who are you? He doesn't know. What is the soul? He doesn't know. Why do the innocent suffer? They don't know. We have all the explanations. Do animals go to heaven? It is a ridiculous concept. Why should they go to heaven and I go to hell? Human beings, they go to hell, they go to heaven, they are so much suffering. But the animals, are they better than human beings that they all go to heaven? Why should they? It's a bizarre idea. Where is it? It's bizarre. I mean, the world is full of bizarre ideas. It is because people don't have knowledge. As simple as that. They don't understand what is soul. We know the soul in an animal in due course of time also will achieve. The animal doesn't go to heaven. The animal at best achieves a human form of life. That's the next step. That's what we know from Vedic scriptures. No animal goes to Swargaloka. At best they become a human being. This is what scripture explains. So if you look at Bhagavad Gita, this verse. Where's that flower? So, Indriyani Parani Ahur, Indriyeva Paramanaha, Manasas Tu Parabuddhir, Yo Buddhi Paratasya. The working senses are superior to dull matter. The senses, superior to dull matter, because they can perceive. They're also matter, but it's matter that perceives. They're matter, but they can perceive better than dead matter, you know? Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than intelligence. There you have it. It's all in Bhagavad Gita. Then Krishna says, evam buddhi param buddhva stam stabhyatmanam atmana jahi shatrum mahabaho kama rupam durasadam. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, to the mind and the intelligence. One should steady the mind, here the mind, by intelligence. Intelligence can steady the mind. By deliberate intelligence, and thus by spiritual strength, conquer the insatiable enemy known as lust. So I give you another example. Say, for example, somebody wants to climb a high mountain. That's in his intelligence. I made up my mind, I want to climb the Mount Everest. It's a mountain. So he goes, starts climbing. It becomes very cold. How does he know? The senses telling him, hey, listen, it's too much. It's getting really cold. Let's go home. The mind says, what are we doing here? Are we going to be, you know, I'm getting freaked out here. Let's go back. Intelligence said, shut up. You're going to make it. So here's an example, classical example. You're not listening to the senses. You're not listening to your mind. You have something in your head, something, some concept, some goal, in this case, Mount Everest, and you ignore the demands of the senses, the demands of the mind, and walk towards the Mount Everest. Classical example, very simple. So you can, in this way, we should, this is intelligent preaching. You sit people down and you explain to them. Anybody, if he's a little open-minded, he will be shocked how deep and how subtle our understanding is of things. How do we know? Krishna tells us. In Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, everything we hear, it is Aroha Panta, what is the other one? Aroha Panta? Avaroha Panta. Aroha Panta and Avaroha. Aroha is? Huh? Ascending. Avaroha is, yeah. Like avatar, descending. Descending. It is descending knowledge. You cannot figure this out by an intelligent mind, by intelligence. We hear this, this knowledge comes down to us. Krishna, when we come to Krishna consciousness, it's like a computer, we are getting an upgrade. All of a sudden, bing, we understand why we are here, where we are coming from, where we want to go, what we are doing with our lives. Because we get an upgrade. If you have a computer, you give him an upgrade, the computer becomes more intelligent. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, Krishna gives us an upgrade so that we can understand the phenomena of this material world in a better way. It's an upgrade. And as we are turning to Krishna, he's upgrading. He's giving us more and more. Yeyatamam prapadyate tam stataka bhajamiyam. Accordingly, he surrenders unto me. I reveal myself. I reward him accordingly. And then when he's highly enlightened, when he leaves the body, you know, due to his sukriti, due to his pious activity, the soul is detaching itself from the body and it rises, and then Krishna catches it and pulls it back to the spiritual world. It takes two to tango. It takes two. It's not when we sit there, we cannot expect, oh Krishna, save me. I lie there. Save me, Lord. It doesn't work like this. We have to do our work. We have to make a plan. We have to do our work, and then Krishna will help us. God helps those who help themselves. We have to do our work. One time a devotee was asked by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, can you save me? Prabhupada said, yes, but you have to do the work. You have to do the work. We have to do our japa, we have to do our hearing, our chanting, devotional activities, serving Krishna. We have to do that. That's our business. And then Krishna will do the rest. We try to do the best, Krishna will do the rest. That's the formula. And how can we do the best? By Krishna's grace. By the grace of Krishna, we can do nice. And Krishna can give us more intelligence, and Krishna can help us to control our senses. Krishna can help us in so many ways, and He will help us. He will help us if we turn to Him. In all affairs, in the Bible also, Jesus said, therefore seek the kingdom of God first, the rest will be given to you. This is very wise. That's very true. First Krishna, the rest will come. Same is expressed in this world. Machita sarva durgani mat prasaram tarishyasi. If you direct your consciousness towards me, sarva durgani, all difficulties of material life, mat prasaram, by my mercy, tarishyasi, will be destroyed. Straight from Bhagavad Gita. So everything is in these scriptures. Everything. And Prabhupada has given us this upgrade. He has given us these scriptures. And we should study these scriptures, just like I carefully thought about this for a long time. You have never seen this demonstration before. That's my thing. You think about it long enough and gradually you get a very graphic idea of what happens there, in a dream, Or somebody stands on a tower, he wants to commit suicide. Why is he not jumping? Why is he not jumping? Mind, person who is depressed, he's in his mind. Mind tells him, jump, I can't take it anymore. Intelligence said, don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah, I want to do it. It goes back and forth and back and forth. People stand on the tower sometimes for hours. My father-in-law told me that one time he left New York City, there was a huge traffic jam. Everybody got out of the car. There was a man standing on a tower about to jump. Exactly that's what happened. He was standing there and his mind is telling him to jump. It's unbearable. Intelligence said, don't do that. What happened next? Somebody got out of the car and said, jump! Thousands of people started to scream, jump, jump! He jumped. This is America. This is the United States, a classical example, America. They wanted to see it. So he jumped. They reinforced his mind to jump. They made the mind strong to jump. By jump, 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 thousands of people were screaming. He jumped and then they all went home and said, we saw it. There was a guy, to tell his wife when he's over his dinner, I saw today the guy jumped from a roof. There. It's unbelievable. That's actually happened. It's a true story. So this is what happened there. Prabhupada said when he gives his example, Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Berkeley, there was a tower in the university that was later closed down, which was famous for students jumping down. Every 5 minutes somebody jumped down and committed suicide. America. And Prabhupada said, what happens there? The mind is telling him, jump. And telling him, said, don't do that. It takes sometimes a long time. I met a guy, a doctor he was flying in a helicopter to you know, emergency. In Germany, if you have a heart attack, the helicopter comes. It's not that ambulance doesn't come, a helicopter comes, you know, lands right on the lawn. All, you see it all the time, to rescue, bring a guy to a hospital. So he's on the crew. He said one time they called him on the highest tower in Frankfurt, there was a guy standing, mentally, you know, shall I jump, shall I not? And I said, did you save him? He said, yes. I said, how did you do it? I told him, I give you 3 seconds to decide to come with me or jump. But that's not long enough. I give you 3 seconds. I mean it. If you don't come right now, I count. 1, 2, 3. Jump or come with me. The guy said, okay, I come with you. So he understood very well the psychology. He understood very well. It takes longer for a person to jump. You know, they stand sometimes for hours. I guess I give you 3 seconds. The guy came. So this is all our philosophy. This is all Krishna's mercy. The precise understanding what is soul, what is mind, what is intelligence, what does it mean, the out-of-body experience, what does it mean? A ghost. I give you an example. When I was in my youth, before I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I loved Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix is a great musician. And I saw his last concert in Germany. And we were fans of him. So at night, one of the nights, we were intoxicated. Spare me the details. And it was not beer, it was something more subtle. It was the medicine of the then generation. A friend of mine put the record of Jimi Hendrix on the table. And we had a picture, all of a sudden, live picture of the person. It started moving. And the guy came out, and all three saw it. Jimmy, there's there. My friends ran towards him, ran through the person, through the ghost. I said, this is a ghost. Because I could say, this is a ghost. This is not, the guy is dead. That means he's dead. The next morning I went to the newspaper stand, there it was. He died the night before. Classical example in my own life that I experienced somebody becoming a ghost and becoming attracted because you play his music. You know, he becomes attracted. And we were in an unstable state of mind when ghosts take advantage of a body. I can give so many examples of things I experienced in my own life, why Krishna consciousness is the right way to go. So many little, here an example. I have a set of experiences, and many of our devotees have a certain set of experiences that doesn't allow them to live a normal karmi's life. Doesn't, because you have seen too much. You have experienced too much. And I'm sure you all had some experiences. That's why you come here. We have a certain set of experiences that bring us to this temple. That's why we are here. So I thank you so much. It's 9 o'clock. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions, let's go. Yes? We have a microphone for this gentleman.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. आप बोल रहे थे मन जैसा बोलता है हमको कुदी लगाने का है और कुदी बुद्धि बोलता है नहीं लगाने का है तो फिर बुद्धि मन से बुद्धि से ज्यादा ये मन का होता है बेग तो बुद्धि उसको कंट्रोल क्यों नहीं कर पाता है
You have said that mind, intelligence should control the mind, but why it fails? it tries to overcome mind, but many a time it fails. Why does that happen?
Yes, because we are living on the mental platform since time immemorial. An animal is completely on the mental on the central platform and on the mental platform. So that's our life. Material life means to be on the mental platform and on the central platform. So we are used to that. We have a rich history of material existence and exposure. to satisfy our mind and to satisfy our senses. Now we gradually free ourselves by strengthening our intelligence. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's one verse. First of all, he says, Tesham satadayuktanam bhajatram bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. Those who worship me with love, I give them intelligence. So Krishna gives us intelligence. He enforces intelligence, makes intelligence strong, so that they can come to me. That's one verse. And another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 1817. Here it is. Adyesya te chaya imam dharmyam sarvaram avayo jnana jnana jnanena tenaham ishta syam iti mimata. And I declare one who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me with his intelligence. So by studying this Bhagavad Gita, we worship God with our intelligence. And he makes intelligence stronger and stronger and stronger. This movement is giving, we're giving brains. This is a brain giving movement, the Hare Krishna movement. We give brain. You know, spirit, a strong, Prabhupada had such a strong mind, because his mind was controlled by enormous intelligence, you know, super intelligent man. And Prabhupada came to London, there is a society, I forgot the name, there's a society where all the top people who have IQs 130 plus, 170, 200, whatever, Mensa, the Mensa Society, it's a world famous society, all the top thinkers are in there. And they invited Prabhupada to give a speech. When he was finished, they offered him a membership in honor, because it was so good what he said. It was so perfect, so intelligent. This Professor Durkheim that I brought to Prabhupada, super intelligent man. This Professor Durkheim, you know, I gave him a riddle. You know, sometimes there's a riddle that you try to solve. I couldn't solve it. I asked other people, can you solve this riddle, you know, some mental riddle, you know, can you, nobody knew. I said, can you solve the riddle? He said, let me think. Yes, I know how to do it. And he solved it. He was really intelligent. Very intelligent man. And so Prabhupada understood this is a very intelligent man when he was speaking to him. And he loved exchanging with Durkheim because they were two highly intelligent people. It was fascinating to see that. And then Durkheim, in the end, he paid his dandavat to Prabhupada. And he said to me, I've never seen a man like this. I met many swamis, I met many gurus, I saw many, but this I've never met in my life. This man is highly intelligent. He's perfect. So Prabhupada was extremely intelligent. I witnessed in Germany, he decided to change his ticket. Instead of flying this to Australia, he wanted to go to the West. So he told Satsuru Maharaj, change the ticket. Satsuru Maharaj said, but they may say this. And Prabhupada said, oh, not only that, they may say this, that, and that. If they say this, you ask them, if they say this, then this may happen, that may happen, that may happen. If that happens, you say this. If that happens, you say that. If that happens, you say that. If this happens, there may be two possibilities. You may say this or that. If you say that, you say that. And this, there are three possibilities. If you say this, you say that. It was unbelievable. Then he went into the other tree, you know. He explained to him all the possibilities, something like 120 different possibilities that possibly could happen. And I realized Prabhupada was so intelligent. Every possibility he knew, he pointed out. If this happens, then you say that. If he said that, then you say that. Then, like this, you know. Such a highly intelligent person, Prabhupada was. Krishna gave him. Krishna is giving brain to the living being. so that they can tesam satatayuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tram jinamam upayantiti. I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. So the more we practice Krishna consciousness, the more clear we become. I can say myself, now I can explain these things very clearly. I was not able to do this when I was a young devotee. You get here, you get there, and it is birthy, my God. This and that, you know. So gradually, you become more sober, you become more strong, you become more clear in the philosophy, you understand how everything works, down to the detail. It's a process. I thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.